Hi, I'm Ed Slott.
And I'm Jeff Levine.
And we're two guys who just love to talk about retirement and taxes.
Look, our mission is simple, to educate you, the saver, so that you can make better decisions, because better decisions, on the whole, lead to better outcomes.
And here's how we're going to do that. Each week, Jeff and I will debate the pros and the cons of a particular retirement strategy or topic, with the goal of helping you keep more of your hard-earned money.
At the end of each debate, there's going to be one clear winner. You, a more informed saver who can hopefully apply the merits of each side of the debate to your own personal situation to decide what's best for you and your family.
So here we go. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate.
All right, Ed, welcome back. We're back for season three of the Great Retirement Debate.
That's right. So what are we kicking it off with?
We got an interesting topic today, one for discussion. We're going to talk about what's the single biggest mistake retirees make.
Besides retiring?
Besides that, you know what? That is a fair point. Like, maybe retiring is indeed a mistake for some people. But all right, let's get right to it, Ed. We got, you know, season three. Let's get right into the meat. What's, in your opinion, the single biggest mistake that retirees make?
Well, I had three, but if I had to pick one, paying too much in taxes.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. look at the sense of shock on my face. All right. So paying too much in taxes. What are the other two, out of curiosity?
Beneficiary forms and rollover mistakes.
Okay. All right.
What would you have picked?
Overconfidence. Overconfidence. I'll unwrap that later. I'm going to leave our listeners on the edge of their seat for a little bit while we unpack taxes. So taxes, you say, are the single biggest mistake, overpaying taxes in retirement. Give us some more.
Because we're trained with RMDs. They keep pushing the age back now at 73. Just keep putting it off and putting it off. But the account doesn't stop growing. All of a sudden, you're putting it off. You're putting it off, and the account is growing. And I'm worried about future higher taxes if Congress ever does anything about it. I've been saying that for years, and they've never done anything about it.
Well, they've helped create more of a problem by lowering taxes even more.
Right, but I don't think taxes will ever be lower. So the biggest mistake is not using up all the brackets, leaving money on the table in the 12, 22, 24 low percent brackets, because they just want to take the bare minimum when they're at RMD age, say at age 73, mm-hmm. and not doing anything before that, even though they may be retired, because they don't have to.
Yeah, I certainly agree that Congress has given everybody what they call a break, but it's
right.
not really a break, right? If people push off those RMDs, it could create a larger problem. You know, your comments there reminded me of two things I'm fond of saying. One is, your goal shouldn't be to create the lowest tax bill in any one year, but to create the lowest lifetime tax bill.
Right.
That's the winner of the game, right? And actually, with retirement accounts, sometimes we have to go beyond the lowest lifetime tax bill. Sometimes it's the lowest multi-generational
right.
tax bill.
Right.
Because that tax liability, unlike a brokerage account, doesn't go away when someone dies, right? It goes to the beneficiary. The other thing it reminded me of is when we're looking at individuals, right? And they're so happy they paid no tax, right? Like, I paid no taxes here.
Yeah, it means you didn't use any of the brackets.
That's right. When I meet someone, there are a lot of people in this country who are working, who, because of the way our tax system works, they don't earn enough to pay any tax. And that's fine. Like, that's one set of individuals. But there are a lot of other people with substantial wealth who still look to try and pay as little as possible. And when I meet one of those individuals who looks to me and says, hey, I paid almost no tax last year, you know, they're thinking like, oh, that's a CPA. He's going to be so proud of me. I look and say, I'm so sorry. You got such bad advice.
Yeah, right.
Like, why would you do that? You're right. Like, it's all about timing, right? And we should sometimes bringing forward some income, paying sooner rather than later, means helping to create that lowest lifetime tax bill.
Yeah, they leave so much money on the table overall, like you said, not mm-hmm. only during lifetime, but then you have the 10 years to beneficiaries who may be in their own highest earning years, and the last thing they want is a big tax bill, given they're getting an inheritance. Yeah.
No one's crying the blues for them, right? Yeah. Like, I always think about that, the beneficiary. I call it like crisis planning, because the beneficiaries got the money. Like, what do you do now? But I always have to remind myself, like, if you run into the office going, I just inherited $1 million, what do I do? It's like, it's not the world's biggest crisis. It's
right,
okay.
Right.
But you're right. Taxes are a big play. What are some other areas with, beyond, let's say, just the retirement account distributions, what are some other areas where you typically find you know, retirees overpaying in taxes?
Well, they don't do Roth conversions ahead of time when they could have, and you can still do it after RMD age, required minimum distributions at age 73, but they cost more then because you can't convert the RMD. So they miss out on those great years in their 60s where they should be sort of dollar cost averaging or whatever you want to call it into a Roth a little at a time to use the brackets every year.
Yeah, and of course, any of those conversions done at 62 or earlier would also avoid any of those Medicare surcharges. A lot of people, once they reach 65, they go on Medicare. And Medicare, because our system is very complicated, and people like you and I need jobs, Ed, it looks back 2 years at your income. So if you are converting in when you're 63, that can actually impact your Medicare premiums when you're 65, which a lot of people don't consider. So effectively, converting before 63 gets you out of that, no matter how high your income is.
Right, but people don't look at that. You know, the Medicare surcharge item is one of the really tricky planning items for two reasons. The Medicare charges don't show up on your tax return. It's off the tax return. And the other item, very hard to plan with the two-year look back.
So what are some other areas behind? Let's move away from retirement accounts for a second. Anything else? Because, you know, I know you're not sitting down doing returns for a lot of people anymore, but you spent decades, you know, preparing returns for folks, most of them in retirement, or at least many of them in retirement. What were some other mistakes that you saw that typically led individuals in retirement to pay more tax than they should?
Not keeping track of basis, what I mean, non-deductible contributions. For years, some people made non-deductible contributions, and even before the law changed many years ago, had rollovers of after-tax funds from company plans. So they had what we call basis, already tax money, that they're not filing Form 8606. That's a form you file to take credit for money you already paid tax on. So if you're just paying full tax on your distribution, in essence, for part of that, you're paying tax twice on the same money.
Absolutely. You know, and I look at it, I think another area, if we shift away from retirement accounts for a second, a lot of people find themselves in that 0% long-term capital gains bracket when they retire, because it takes a lot of income now to be out of that, right? If we look at, let's say, a married couple and they're in retirement, they're probably over 65. So not only are they getting the standard deduction, they're getting the quote-unquote additional standard deductions, which even today means they have well over a $30,000 standard deduction. The 0% long-term capital gains bracket is up to the 12% ordinary income tax rate, which today is about $95,000 for married couples. So you put those two things together. What you find is a married couple, even if they have $125,000 of income in retirement, if they just take the standard deduction, they're still right at the top of that 0% long-term capital gains bracket. And most retirees don't have $125,000 of income a year, which means they're below that 0% threshold. For people listening, what I'm trying to get at here is if you're in a 0% long-term capital gains bracket, you can sell your appreciated stocks in your brokerage account. And you might say, but Jeff, they've gone up in value. I like them, that they've appreciated. That's why I like them so much. Fine, then sell them and then wait, you know, a day or so and buy them right back. If you sell at the 0% long-term capital gains bracket, you're paying 0%.
All right, I want to get back to the overconfidence because you left them hanging. Okay. But before that, just a warning on that 0% capital gains rate. Many people see it on the tax tables but don't get it because our tax system works in a funny way. Ordinary income gets taxed first and eats into that.
That's right.
So many people look at that and say, how come I didn't get the 0%?
Yeah, so if you're thinking about, hey, does this apply to me, what you really want to do is take all of your regular income, the amount of your Social Security that's taxable, your IRA distributions, your interest and whatnot, and then on top of that, you wanna layer in how much in long-term capital gains and qualified dividends do I have? And if total those dollars are, for a married couple this year in 2024, below about $125,000, you can look specifically at your own standard deduction, et cetera, if you're over 65 or under 65, but about $125,000. If the total amount of that income is below, then those long-term capital gains and qualified dividends will be at 0%.
And all worst right. case scenario, 15%. Not the worst thing in the world.
Not the worst thing in the world.
All right,
indeed.
Overconfidence.
I'm hanging on. I'm confident that I'm going to get there. But you did mention two other things, so I want to make sure that we don't leave listeners hanging on that. You mentioned
I'll do it quickly, beneficiary forms. And we'll cover it on another episode.
People don't check
beneficiary forms.
All right,
worst
so do
mistakes
that.
ever. That'll be a separate one.
All right.
Wrong people get the money. I'll tease you for a future episode. We just had a case where an ex-girlfriend got over $1 million, and he broke up with her in 1989. All right. I'll leave you hanging on that one. And rollover mistakes. People don't know how to move money from one IRA to another. And a lot of times it's the fault of the advisor or the institution where they just get bad advice. Oh, overconfidence.
All right, overconfidence. So to me, overconfidence is probably the single biggest risk retirees face because there's so much you can be overconfident about. You can be overconfident about when you're going to retire. If we look at the research, people think they are often going to work longer than they will. So they factor in, you know, too many years of earnings. And then they get to that point and they go, I guess I can't work anymore. Or we're in another scenario where they're overconfident that the market will do really, really well, right? They say, oh my goodness, the market, it's just going to continue going this good forever. Or they're overconfident that the market will not do well. Right. And they say it's just never going to be the same. It's not like it was when I was a kid. There's so many things. The reality is none of us have any real clue what's going to happen in the future. So for me, retirees who continuously monitor their plans, retirees who are open to the fact that they don't control everything, they can control their reactions to things, and they can continuously monitor things like interest rates and inflation and their spending and their health and make constant course corrections. Those are the individuals, I think, who do best of all. But anytime you're overconfident in any area, seems to always come back and smack you in the face later.
Well, except for Roth IRAs. I'm overconfident that's the best single account to own. And with that... With that, I was trying to end the program.
Oh, well, all right. Well, all right. I guess we're at the end of our program then. I was not as confident as you that we had reached the end of our program today. So thank you all for joining us for yet another episode of The Great Retirement Debate. Ed, always fun.
Okay.
I look forward to having our next discussion soon.
Yep.
Jeffrey Levine is Chief Planning Officer for Buckingham Wealth Partners. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as specific investment, accounting, legal, or tax advice. Certain information mentioned may be based on third-party information which may become outdated or otherwise superseded without notice. Third-party information is deemed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The topic discussed in corresponding arguments are those of the speakers and may not accurately reflect those of Buckingham Wealth Partners.